Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Fit Writer podcast. I am Kayla, the Fit Writer, and today we are going to have a listen in on my second episode in my mental health conversation series. So this episode features Aisha. She is from the Uncomfortably Reborn African podcast. I have known Aisha since before she had a podcast. She was actually the one who inspired me to start this podcast because I was a guest on her podcast. So honestly, she should probably take some of the credit for me getting this up and going. But her podcast is so inspiring, and she is such a great speaker. And man, she has been through some really like tough stuff. And the fact that she is just so well put together and has such a beautiful soul and really just is trying to make a difference in this world despite everything that she's been through. She has all the reasons to be angry at the world, and she is anything but angry, and she is truly an inspiration. She is a single mother, and she cares about the mental health of, like, not just adults, but also our youth, and that is one thing that we really touch on in this episode because, you know, she has kids. I still have kid siblings, and a lot of people, they just seem to get down, I guess, about kids and kid mental health just because so many adults think that kids' problems aren't real or big or anything like that. But we all got to realize, like, it's all about perspective. Like, yes, bills suck. Being an adult sucks. Like, there are a lot of challenges that we face as adults, but kids are facing some serious challenges as well, to include bullying and schoolwork and, you know, just being a kid nowadays is probably really scary. And I feel like we have to keep an open mind when it comes to children. And remember back when we were children, I was a kid when 9/11 happened, and I remember being scared. I thought the world was going to end. In fact, I was convinced that the world was going to end. I didn't understand it. So we really need to try as adults to think about things from a child's perspective. And another thing that we touched on is making sure that the people in our life, regardless of if their kids are adults, just making sure that they're okay. Like, we just need to start talking about mental health. And that's one of the reasons that I had Aisha on here after listening to her podcast about her suicide attempt when she was young. So I do want to, I guess, end this little introduction by saying that there is some sensitive topics in this episode related to suicide, self-harm, domestic violence, and sexual assault. So if you are sensitive about topics like that, please listen with caution. If you are struggling, please make sure to reach out to somebody, even if it's me. Just reach out to somebody if, for whatever reason, it becomes too heavy. And if you need to, you know, stop listening. You won't hurt my feelings at all. You know, there are some pretty heavy topics in this episode, but what Aisha has to say is so important and so inspiring. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed talking to Aisha.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, it was transitioning from another country. So I'm West African. I came here from the, you know, for the listeners, I came here from a country called Sierra Leone. So it was already a big transition coming from one country to the other.
Mm-hmm.
So like I instantly started being bullied, like literally from elementary school all the way up to high school. And it was just layers and layers of it. And it probably was the worst in middle school. Like it got mm-hmm. to the point where it was bad, to the point where I didn't even want to bathe. I didn't even want to go. Like, I literally was doing stuff to rebel, to not go.
Yeah.
And the thing about growing up or having immigrant parents, like, they have to work all the time. So they were rarely, they weren't home. So a lot of the stuff I was experiencing, they weren't around to pretty much see what was going on because they were at work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother, he had special needs, so he was in like the special education class, so he was being bullied as well.
Oh, so God.
What I was saying was, like, I was being bullied, he was being bullied, but he can't defend himself mm-hmm. like I can. So I literally had to take on the weight of his issues as well as my issues, and it was just hard to process. It was hard to process. And again, I would literally walk into my middle school and I would make a beeline into the bathroom. And for some reason, the bathroom stall became like my safe zone. I would literally have conversations with myself about like the day, like, maybe you should just stay in here the whole day. Maybe you should go home. Like, I would literally talk to myself and go back and forth with myself because I had that much anxiety in mm-hmm. school that I just had, like, I had to process it some kind of way. And eventually I have to come out the bathroom, the bell is about to ring, and I'll go in there and I'll just deal with the day. But I was that literal, like, if you watch those movies with the kids that are being bullied and they're at the locker getting, like, you know, people are slamming up against them, or
yep.
they're walking on the bus, and that was me. I was
yep.
It was bad. I would literally walk on the bus and no one would let me sit next to them. I remember one time having to literally sit on the edge of the bus seat.
Oh my God.
Because no one would let me sit down. And the thing about when all this is going on, like, the bus driver clearly was seeing this, said
yeah.
nothing.
And the bus driver, like, didn't say anything.
No, said nothing. And this happened for so long, said nothing.
Oh,
and then,
gosh.
Yeah, there was even middle school, like, there were some boys that would always mess with me, and one of them said something to me, I said something back, but then, of course, I was the one that got in trouble, so the teacher was like, you know, go stand out in the hallway. I sit out in the hallway, and I'm standing by the door, like, this is just like a movie, but I'm standing by the door, and she's like, why are you guys always messing with that girl? So, A, that tells me that you've seen it and you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And the boy's like, oh, because she's a bulldog. And the whole classroom starts barking. And I literally, like, I can laugh at it now. But I literally, like, if this was a movie and you played the sad music and it's like violins. And I just walked away and went right into the bathroom stall and got into, like, and I just cried. It was the worst.
Oh.
So all that stuff literally kept piling and piling and piling to once I got to my freshman year in high school, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start divorcing me being West African and let me, like, be more American.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I stopped, like, making people call me Aisha, and I went by the name Aisha, and I just started to, you know, distance myself from my culture so I could be more accepted,
mm-hmm.
not realizing, like, that was messing with my psyche as well.
Yeah.
And I was skipping school because the only friends that would accept me were, like, of course it got to the point where the only friends that I had were the bad kids, because initially in middle school, like, I followed little groups of friends, but I always ended up being, like, still being bullied amongst the group of friends. Mm-hmm. There was always one ringleader, and the ringleader would be like, oh, well, you can't come to my party, but they can, or we don't like her today, or we like her. It was literally that bad. So I started following the bad kids, and then my grade point average for my freshman year was like 0.4. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yes, 0.4. I was skipping school. I got suspended. And there was a time where I had went out with the bad kids, and they, like, kept me. I literally was gone from my house for a week. A whole week I was gone because I was scared to stand up for myself. Mm-hmm. We ended up going out somewhere. We ended up staying, and I just was too scared to say, like, I need to go home. So just imagine what my parents were going through. your daughter at
least. I bet they freaked out on
you. Oh yeah, they had called 911, and this was one of all the movie those shows was coming. I mean, they still do, but it was a lot of shows about kids being kidnapped. So like I leave school and they don't see me. So I finally while I was there, like I had started cutting. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of people, you know, people have heard of cutters, but I would like slit my, like, I don't know, my self-esteem is really bad. So I would cut myself. And there's mm-hmm. something about, they say people who are cutters, it's something about feeling pain. It's like you're inflicting pain on yourself and it kind of like gives you, it's like you're punishing yourself. So I was cutting my wrist mm-hmm. little by little. And I finally got back home and my sisters were just pissed at this point. My father was like, you're a disgrace to our family. My mom was like barely trying to hold on because she was the only one that kind of like had my back because I pissed everyone off. Mm-hmm. And then my sisters came in and just beat me up.
They're like, what are you doing?
Exactly. Because I mean, and it makes sense. Like you're stressing mom out. You're doing what you want to do. So they like, and I had just got a new hair. I mean, I had my hair done. They cut my braids. Like it was the worst. And they just happened to be a bottle of pills right next to me. And I just downed them. I grabbed the bottle of pills, opened them up, and literally just threw them back. And I was in and out of consciousness. And the next thing I remember, I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital because, you know, I attempted suicide.
Yeah.
And that was like a really transitional moment for me because that's when I realized like how bad my self-esteem was, like how bad all the stressors of my life was being. So mm-hmm. when I hear these stories about these kids attempting suicide or being suicidal at these young age, I understand. And although people think like, oh, what are they going through? They don't understand bills in life. They don't, but they also don't understand how to express what's going on because sometimes parents or everything's going so fast around the world of, you know, their households that mm-hmm. sometimes parents don't notice. They don't know. Yeah. Sometimes you're in the situation like me where your teacher sees it, the bus driver sees it, all these people are seeing what's happening and they don't say anything. So you literally feel alone. I literally felt alone. So that week when I was in the hospital and the psychiatrist, that was the first person that literally asked me, so how do you feel? That was literally the first time someone asked me that since I was going through all that. Mm-hmm. And again, I remember saying, I hate myself. I wish I was dead. I would say that day in and day out. And this time, like, I remember sitting with her and my parents were like, you know, she thought like, well, maybe if your parents leave, you'll be more open to talk. But my parents was like, she's a minor. I need to be here. And I think they just wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah.
But I had lived this life where communication was not what we did. We didn't talk about our issues. We didn't, you know, if you talk to most foreign kids, the mindset is we brought you to this country. You need to get an education. You need to shut up in color. That's how it is in our community. Mm-hmm. And not only that, if you bring home a B+, you're going to get a spanking. If you can't answer a question right, you're going to be called stupid. And it's like their way of kind of pushing you. Mm-hmm. But it's really like not really beneficial because it got to the point where I didn't even feel comfortable going to my dad and love you, dad. But I didn't feel comfortable going to my dad to ask him for homework because it'll be like, what's 2 + 2? And I might say 3. And he's just like, are you stupid? You know, and it's it was really
like, why don't you know this? You're supposed to know it even.
Exactly.
Like, I'm learning it right now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I'm here. I clearly need help. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like that mindset of just shut up in color. So mm-hmm. that was literally the first moment someone said, how are you? And, you know, eventually I got discharged and I got right back into following those friends that I was in. And, you know, it wasn't until they separated me and moved me out of that that area. I ended up moving in with my sister, going to a new school and going through all that. And that's when there was a shift. But the piece that I'm recently going to do on my podcast is once I got to my high school senior year, I was sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I experienced what PTSD is. See, PTSD is something that you hear a lot of in the veteran space, and you know, mm-hmm. you know, members in the military who go, you know, go through combat. But PTSD is like trauma, period. So you yep. can get PTSD from any type of trauma you experience. And that was the first time I experienced. I mean, I had been through all that stuff in high school, all that trauma, all that mm-hmm. sadness, but that took me over the edge of like mental health issues. And when mm-hmm. I got discharged after the suicide attempt, I was on Zoloft. I was on depression medicine, which, you know, which helped. I did it for a while mm-hmm. and it helped a lot. But again, it was really my parents removing me from that environment that helped me. But mm-hmm. again, it still wasn't the environment of, hey, how you doing? How you feel? It was still kind of like, okay, we took care of that. Let's keep moving. So yeah. it's really important that these conversations, like when we're talking now, it's really important to be able to have these conversations with your kids or with your friends, because sometimes you need an outlet, and it's the worst when you feel like you're the only person out there that went through that. Mm-hmm. So when I was going through that PTSD, like, I remember one time calling my sister because it got so bad. Like, it was to the point where I was like in the corner shaking and just crying. Mm-hmm. And she like literally was trying to walk me through it. But I dealt with mental health issues for so long. And, you know, just I feel like it was truly my faith that helped me get past it. But it wasn't until a couple years ago that I really sat down and got the help that I needed. Mm-hmm. And I think my thing now is talking to young girls and really trying to like, just like even what you're doing, it's kind of like, let's start these conversations as early as possible in our yeah. household. Yeah. I mean, now that my son has ADHD and now that I understand it affects his emotions, mm-hmm. I can't just be like, oh, be quiet, let's go. I have to like ask him what's wrong. I have to stop and ask my daughter, and they're 5 and 6, and ask them, are you okay? Because I don't want to repeat that cycle of just brushing over it, be quiet, let's go. Because sometimes I have to catch myself and I have to, even with my son, you know how typically with boys, they yeah. say you need to, you know, be tough with them. But I can't. I need to allow him to express himself as well, because he's dealing with, you know, the ADHD. Mm-hmm. It's throwing his emotions off. So I can't be stern with him. I have to allow him to express himself. So I yeah. think it really is important to start these conversations as early as possible and ask those questions, because it's easy to get, I'm a single parent, it's easy for me to get caught up in the day. It's easy for me to get caught up with everything I'm doing, but I have to like just be present for a moment just so my kids feel comfortable enough to know that they have someone to talk to and they don't have to deal with these issues by themselves. Because my son is so emotional being on this medicine mm-hmm. that I have to be present for him, because I don't know if I'm not, what that could spiral into, you know what I mean? So
yep. And I think like especially these days, parents seem to like, they just raise like boys and girls differently, and mm-hmm. like there's so many parents that are like, you're like man up, or you know, something like that. You
yeah
also, you know, you want to be able to like encourage him, I guess, to show his feelings and not to bottle them up, because that's when really bad things happen.
Exactly. I mean I'm divorced now, but even with when I was with my ex-husband, you know, he had this mindset like, I want a strong boy. So yeah. he would like really be really extra hard on him, and it would be like, no, like I don't want him to be the type of child that just holds his emotions in so much that it comes out in anger, because his dad had anger issues. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what tied into the domestic violence. So yeah. it's kind of like, you know, in my head, like, well, I think about it after, like, you had anger issues, but that's because you had all these emotions that bottled up in a bunch of other stuff that you mm-hmm. never took care of. You never took care of your mental health. And now you're, you know, putting this mindset on our child, and it'll continue to repeat that cycle of, you know, let's just shut up and color. And it's like, I don't want to do that anymore, because with what I experienced, with what my son's dealing with his, you know, ADHD, I don't want to continue the cycle of
yep.
let's just brush over mental health, because that's the only way that you can truly be able to function. And yeah. I think therapy is important. Like I chose the faith-based side to do my, you know, cleansing and talking to someone. I went through a program at my church called RAIN. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's not called RAIN. It's called, I'm thinking about something else. It's called Savior. But it was more tied to the people that are survivors of sexual assault and child sex abuse. So that's, I chose that angle because I felt like that was the underlying issues. Because again, my trauma goes even deeper because I was sexually abused at 5 years old, 5 to 6 years old. So it started there. And then, you know, with transitioning to the US and then then my relationship with my father was strained because I, you know, just because he was embarrassed. And, but then I started trying to look for love in the wrong places and it just piled on. And again, you know, I don't want anyone to wait until they're in their late 30s to start getting their stuff addressed. You want to try to get this stuff addressed as early as possible. And then also if parents are listening, to remind themselves to truly make time to talk to their children, ask them how they are. And if they do need help and you don't know what to do, get help. There's so many resources and groups and things that you can do out there. And it's, you know, Google is awesome. Yep. There's so many resources and free services now because mental health is so important. Exactly. Give them help because it's tough.
I mean, heck, even if you were to take your child into the pediatrician could definitely help too. I know my parents, I still have like kid siblings, like school age siblings, and mental health is definitely a big topic because a majority of us have a diagnosed mental illness. And a lot of them figured it out by going to the pediatrician and being like, here's what's going on. And that will result in usually like a referral to a therapist or, you know, something along those lines. Like that's another resource that I think that a lot of people overlook is even like primary care doctors.
Yeah. And I think that's why they ask those questions now, you know, with the military, they'll, are you safe at home? They'll ask, how do you feel? They're trying to ask these questions that they probably weren't asking before. But like, even with my son, like for a while, I really fought this whole idea that he had ADHD, not realizing that I was thinking so much about myself and not realizing that he was really having issues. And once I finally went to the parent support group, because sometimes as parents or sometimes, you know, whomever, you have to get educated. And like I said, if you don't know what's going on as a parent or as a spouse or whomever, maybe you need to reach out to a support group and get that education. But, you know, SAMHC, the military hospital here in San Antonio, they had a group session for parents and they explained what ADHD was and what it was doing and how it was affecting him. And it's just like, wow, if I would have been, and they said specifically a lot of it is hereditary. So there are people that are walking around with ADHD that never got it. Cause he's like, you know, everyone has that uncle or that parent where they seem like, you know, they were always like wacky or they were, you know, having issues, but they're like, there's a lot of patterns in the past where people didn't get this addressed. So a lot of kids, it's hereditary and people don't know it's a genetic thing. So it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because my ex-husband's, you know, he talked about his other kids and how they had the same diagnosis. And then I thought about his behavior and the things he did. And I'm like, ah, those are examples of their stuff that people don't get addressed or get looked at early enough. And now they end up self-medicating or they end up with all these issues in the future because it was never addressed when they were younger.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think it's really just really important to like pay attention to, you know, again, if you're not a parent, you know, just look at your friends or your spouse or whomever you're close to, because there are a lot of people out there that have issues that have this fear of going to a doctor or a therapist because it's still cliche. It's better, but it's still cliche.
Yeah, no, for sure. I struggled for a really long time before I finally was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, if I keep struggling in silence, I'm not going to be here a year from now. Yeah. And that was when my husband, I said that to him and he was like, you need to make an appointment. And that's kind of what got the ball rolling and things like that. And that's now, good. I mean, thankfully in my life, like mental health is very much talked about a lot now because of the fact that I've like come out and been like, yeah, like this is what I struggle with. And I got my diagnoses and stuff. And now I will openly talk about it. I post about it all the time on my blog. I'm planning on talking about it on my podcast. And it's just, it's very important to talk about. I know I have two younger sisters who are in middle school right now, and they deal with all the things that, you know,
middle schoolers deal with nowadays. Like, they are bullied. They, you know, one of them is highly sensitive, and she's like my mini me, though. She's so much like me, it kind of scares me. But like, she's dealing, like, they are both dealing with, you know, just being a middle school girl. And so while I was listening to your podcast about your suicide attempt, and you were talking about, you know, like, younger girls and how people, like, adults nowadays look at kids and we're like, they don't have, why are they all, you know, attempting suicide? They don't have problems and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I hear that, and it makes me so mad, because I just think about my sisters and how they struggle. And I'm like, I know that their problems are real. They might seem small to adults, but like, I went and visited them back in October for almost a week. And like, I saw their problems. Like, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, like, whatever, that's not a big deal to them. I was like, yeah, this is like a legit problem that they're being faced with. And, you know, they're only, what, like 11 and 13 years old. So
yeah,
you know, it's all about perspective, I think. And I'm so thankful that my stepmom and my dad are also very open about mental health.
Awesome.
So that conversation is always open. And whenever, if for whatever reason my stepmom isn't like getting through to them, or she thinks, okay, maybe somebody else, like, they would benefit from someone else talking to them, like, she'll call me and be like, awesome, can you please talk to your sister about this or whatever? And it's a very open topic.
And that's how it should be. Like, sometimes exactly, it takes a tribe. Sometimes it's someone else giving a different perspective. And, you know, I was watching a post from one of the girls in my speaking group, and there was one girl that was talking about, you know, how she feels more comfortable talking to certain people in school. She's like, mm-hmm. Well, I'm in school. This is where I am the majority of my day. So I really want to be able to have a connection. And she really was like, this is the only place that I can have, you know, a clear conversation. So it's kind of like, she was basically expressing at home, she couldn't have the conversation she could have in school. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you have kids out here who don't have any of that. They go home and they don't have anybody to talk to. They go to school, and the bus drivers and the teachers, they just don't see them and see what they're going through. And they literally walk the space like they're alone. They don't know there are other kids out there that's dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm really pushing the mindset of, you know, kids getting out there, you know, finding other people that are like them, that have the same likes and all these different things like them. And also, like, telling teachers and, you know, bus drivers, like, I understand your job is just to drive the bus, but you can't sit here and allow a child to get beat up. Like, you said, they've posted stuff on social media where you see these kids being bullied on the bus. Like, I think one of the kids that recently, I forgot how many months ago, but he committed suicide, but they had like a video of him, you know, after it happens, they do research, but there was like a video of him getting bullied on the bus.
Aww.
And, you know, and in your head, you're like, man, Mr. Bus Driver, what are you doing? So it literally takes a tribe. It needs to be everyone from in the house to the school, everywhere, for, you know, all those kids to feel protected. And of course, there's no perfect process, but as long as that child knows that they have someone to go to, I think that'll make a huge difference. Because when I was in that moment of I wanted to end my life, I literally felt completely alone. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was just me. The world didn't need me, and there was no one I can turn to. So it's really important to, you know, that whole inclusion. And I love what you guys are doing with your sister and your sisters. And I love that. And that's how I think everybody should model that. If they're not getting the love at school, at least let them get it at home.
Exactly.
Be present. Be present when you can, because, you know, that one, it just takes one time. And I could have died. Like, I literally threw back pills. Like, I could have been that statistic. But thank God, you know, it didn't, I don't think that, I don't think the pills I took, I think it might've been, it wasn't anything potent. So
yeah,
but I remember being there and one girl came in and they were like, oh, we had to pump her stomach. Like there were literally groups of, we all like, there was literally like five or six of us all in middle school and high school in there because we attempted suicide. Like this is real. And this was of course back in like 2000 and, or no, this was like 97, 98, but I can just imagine what it's like now. But it was a group of us in there being, going through therapy, having group sessions, talking about where we are, and we all attempted suicide. It was crazy. So it's real. It is really real. Oh, so yeah. I appreciate that you're doing this. This is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
This really is.
I guess I was also wondering too, like, what sorts of things do you do nowadays to like take care of your mental health?
So for me, like I said, the faith piece is extremely important for me. So again, that's one of the things that keep me centered. So it's definitely like staying tuned or reading the word and kind of filling my mind and body like with positive things. So like I even started recently, like I'm, you know, my recent post that I post today, and again, I'm talking to like young girls, but even social media, like I literally got on IG today and it was nothing but positive quotes. And I'm like, great. Because I remember hearing someone recently say that, you know, who are you following? Like, are there people you need to unfollow that are always talking about stuff that's not going to help fuel your mind and give you positivity? So it starts with what you're watching, what you're looking at. So I literally started following people who are out there grinding, building their business, and they're all about positivity. And then, and then the fitness aspect was huge for me. Like after I got my divorce, it's like I felt like fitness saved my life, because even going through that process and being in an abusive marriage, there was a point there where I wanted to kill myself too. I had literally made a noose in the closet. I had it. I literally broke down, threw all kinds of stuff around in the house. My kids were like 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And then my stepson at the time, he was maybe 13, and I literally had it. And I went off in front of the entire house, went in the closet, made a noose, and I was about to hang myself in the closet. And it was me having that moment where I just like, let me call my friend. He talked me down and was like, you know, you don't need to do it, but it was that bad. So it's like, when I got my divorce, like even me walking out of that, sometimes it's the relationships you're in. Sometimes you need to walk away from relationships that aren't pouring life into you. So I would say first you need to look at your surroundings and look at who you're around. It might be people that you need to cut off that are always fueling negativity and they're not there to support you. So when I got rid of him, I mean, that's wrong to say, but
I get it.
When I walked away, because also in my head, I'm like, again, it's about the cycle. Do I want to teach my daughter and my son, this is how you treat a woman or a man? Yes. This is not what I want them to see. So once I walked away from that, I had to heal, because I had to heal for my kids. So what is your why? What's pushing you? What's driving you? If your man isn't there, if you're single, you don't have anything, you need to find something that pushes you. Yeah. And it's my kids. I was like, I'm a single mom now. I have to grind. So when I started to, you know, pour into me on the faith side, going to church, becoming part of, I sing. So I got a part of the church community and started to serve as a singer so I can just continuously be in the presence of the Lord. And then I was working out and I started doing the fitness thing and I got this snap back. Oh yeah. I got this body right. But for some reason, working out is my therapy. I go to the gym and I can have a stressful day and that literally will just like mellow me out, because, you know, they say that it has, what is it? Is it the endorphins that it has?
Yeah, endorphins. Yep.
Yeah. And it mellows me out. So it's the faith piece, keeping that consistently, what I'm watching and who's around. Like I've had to cut off people who just want to call me about drama and stress. I don't need that. So I've cut off people, but I've added people in my life that actually pour into me. Yeah. So, you know, so I've made those adjustments, and the fitness piece have really been what has kept me at a level head, because I still have my moments. And then actually like taking the step and getting the help. Like once I got in that community of the people that, you know, that helped me through that moment where I really took a deep dive into the sexual assault and all the stuff I went through. Mm-hmm. That community also helped me. Like we still connect. If I have any issues, I have access to them. So your community and your tribe is important. you know, what you're doing, your why is important, and then what you're feeding yourself mentally. If you're not a spiritual person, like some, you might have to really get into certain books or certain mantras or even daily affirmations. Even at Laughlin, when I was at my last space, I had a piece of paper stuck on my, taped on my mirror in the bathroom, and I would recite, I love myself. You mean something. You're beautiful. Like, I had to say it to myself because so I can believe it. So it's all those little things like that for me. But again, it's the faith, it's the fitness, and it's the community. And then cutting off all the dead weight that doesn't add to your life. You want to put stuff in that's going to put, you know, add to your life. So,
yeah. Exactly. I totally agree with that. When I was at Laughlin, for those of you listening, that's how we met, was at Laughlin. but when I was at Laughlin, like, I mean, it's no secret that I, at least at first, I definitely went through like a culture shock because I was, you know, in that small town on that small little base.
And then you left your family and your friends.
Like no one that I knew. My husband was gone 12 hours a day for training and stuff. And
you felt alone.
Yeah, I was very lonely, and I thought that, you know, I needed to be friends with the other spouses from the class that, like, you know, my husband was in. And like, this is like where the, I guess, I mean, I don't want to call them dead weight, because like, I met some of my best friends, but then there were other people that really had a terrible impact on my mental health. And there were like times where, like, they'd all go and hang out and would post on Snapchat, and I would see it, and I would be like in bed, like crying, because I'm like, they hate me because I wasn't invited. And my husband's like, Kayla, you never cared about things like this back in Tucson. Like, you never cared about being invited. You never cared about like having to go out with the girls and things like that. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you know, I was just sad and depressed and things like that. And I was also, while I was at Laughlin, was diagnosed with an adjustment disorder. And that was a big part of it, was like, I just wasn't adjusting. Like, I had, my life went from, you know, working in the gym for 12 hours a day and having purpose in that way, where I was helping people get healthy. I went from doing that to like nothing, basically. And I just couldn't cope with it, and so everything would just set me off. And finally I was like, okay, it's time to like go into therapy. And I was sort of on medication at that point. I was on Lexapro, which was not a good match for me, and I didn't know it at the time until my therapist brought it up and was like, you need to try something else.
Good.
Yeah, and then, like, I got involved with Herbalife, and then I met, like, you and Bree, and started kind of, like, branching out of, like, the little friend group that I had. Like, I still hung out with those spouses, but I, like, met one of my friends who lived across the street from me. I met her, and, like, her husband graduated, gosh, like, I want to say like 5 months after mine did. So like, she obviously wasn't in my class, but she was so much like me, and I felt like I didn't have to like go overboard to impress her or, you know, things like that. So yeah, and then I finally ended up, like, I still talk to quite a few of the girls from my class, and they are very sweet. Like, I would love to see them again. But then, you know, the people who weren't, you know, filling my cup, as they say, I was like, you know, I'm kind of done. Like, and I cut them off, and I basically just said, screw it. Like, I don't care anymore. And I mean, it took a little bit to convince myself of that. But now that, you know, I have so much other stuff going on for me, and I've met so many people that do lift me up.
Yeah,
like, I am in a much better place. And also, since I left Laughlin, you know,
was definitely a time, like, I, you know, and I went through a lot there too, you know. And
yeah,
like I said, from the spiritual angle, I just was like, okay, God, what do you want me to learn from being here? And it helped me kind of grow and kind of, like, you know, build like a certain strength of, you know, being by yourself, you kind of, I don't know, you learn a lot about yourself and you realize how strong mm-hmm. you are, but going through it sucked. Like, I was really,
yeah,
like, if you go to Laughlin, and I mean, because you're not single, but again, from you, you know, your husband not being around like that, like, I empathize. I mean, there's a lot of spouses there where they're functioning like single moms because their husbands are ever mm-hmm. there, or they're functioning by themselves. So I can imagine what it feels like where you're somewhere away from family and it's just you. So it's tough, but it is yeah. important, like, who is around you, because
exactly.
people will either, like, they'll either drain you or help you. So your yep. tribe is extremely, extremely important. You want to make sure you're around people that are going to support you, yeah. you know, when you need somebody to talk to. Because even when I was married, my ex-husband, like, he literally, I had to cut off all my friends because he was just so overprotective and over, like, you can't have any friends. And I, mm-hmm. that was probably where I started to bottle in all my emotions again, where I blew up like that. But once yeah. I, you know, started to have someone to talk to and vent to, and they could kind of walk me through my ups and downs, it really helps. So your tribe is, mm-hmm. your tribe is extremely important.
Yes, it is so important. I'm like kind of bummed because my tribe is kind of like everywhere throughout the United States, but I know that, like, I could hop on the phone,
yeah,
text somebody or call somebody. And if I tell them, you know what, like, I'm really struggling right now, I need someone to talk to, I know that there are tons of people who would in an instant be like, okay, what's up?
Exactly. But,
so, and I think that that's, like, so important, because when I was at Laughlin, at least the beginning part of my time at Laughlin, I didn't feel like I had anyone like that. Like, I had a couple of people from back home, but, like, other than that, at Laughlin itself, I was truly like, no one here understands me. Everyone just wants to drink and party and, you know, the pilot lifestyle or whatever. So... it was just, you know, things like that. That I was like, this is just not going so great.
Yeah. I'm glad you were able to overcome that. Because, you know, I saw posts and I was like, girl, you need help. You need something. It is tough. So,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, I really appreciate you, you know, you talking about this. Because, again, the more and more people this can reach, the mm-hmm. more and more people that know that there are other people that have mess and they have issues and they've dealt with it, like, you know, the more yes. that they feel like they're not alone. So, you know, yes. if you need help, reach out to somebody. If you need exactly. you know, don't believe that you're in it by yourself, because you're not.
Yep.
And you'll get through it if you are going through a tough time right now. You will get through it, because yes. we've all done it and we've all had those moments. So
exactly. I think that's like one of the biggest reasons why I'm doing this sort of like podcast series, is just to show, like, there are so many people that understand and want you to know that you're not alone, and that, you know, it's annoying to be told, like, everything's going to be okay, but it really, like, everything really is going to be okay.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it doesn't seem like it when you're in the middle of it. You're like,
yeah, exactly.
Man, it lied to me.
Yeah.
It is, like, going to be okay.
When people were telling me, oh, everything will be fine, I'm like, shut up. Like,
you know, the cliche words, like, you know, you'll yeah. get through it. You can yeah, do it. I don't want to hear it. The quotes.
Yeah. Like, so many people are like, what's that one that's like, I want to say it was something like, God won't give you anything that
you can't bear.
I know, but like.
That is like the typical Christian right saying. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. I was just all like, right. Thanks.
No, like, don't, let's not, you know, let's not go there.
Exactly. So
awesome.
That's why I'm like, I wanted to do this, and I know that there are probably quite a few people that probably get annoyed about me talking about mental health so much, but I pretty much am like, you know, if you don't like it, you don't got
yeah because really it's not for them, you know. They
yeah,
say that, you
it's
know
for
yeah
the people who do struggle.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So, you know, please still subscribe, but
mm-hmm. yeah,
still subscribe
please
to her podcast. But then you can skip the episode if you want, but still subscribe and
yeah,
show your support.
Anything that says mental health on it, you can just skip it. It's fine.
Exactly. Awesome.
Do you want to tell my listeners, like, where to find you on social media so they can
sure
subscribe
so I'm on
stuff?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, Twitter, And what's that other one? Snapchat.
Yes.
And it's at Salon Gyal 83, and that's SalonGyal 83. I'm also, again, my goal right now is to speak to young girls between the ages of 12 and 16 to promote things like this, mental wellness, confidence, self-worth, self-value. Like my vision is kind of like, let me be the example of all the mess you can go through, and let me help you and tell you, like, what, you know, what you can possibly do to help you go through those mm-hmm. things. So, you know, please go out. I have a website, aishathomas.org. And again, my goal is just to speak and raise awareness of these issues, because, you know, it is hard. It is tough out there for young girls, for mm-hmm. the youth period. So yes, definitely support. And then of course I have my podcast. Yes. It's called The Uncomfortably Reborn African. The uncomfortable part comes from me getting used to being, you're uncomfortably, what is it again? When you're getting used to being uncomfortable, it's like I'm putting myself out there to be uncomfortable in order for me to grow. So
I always tell people, like, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah, that's what I say is fake it till you make it.
Yes, that's it. I'll say that next time, because I had an issue just now. But yes, come out and support. Go out and support. And yeah, thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Again, more topics and more things like this are extremely important to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you giving me your wonderful platform to do this.
Yes, of course. And thank you for agreeing to be on my podcast. Thank you so much again for tuning in to the Fit Writer podcast. Like, this conversation and this episode was just so great and empowering to record. I absolutely love Aisha. She's one of my favorite people to follow on social media because she's such a breath of fresh air. She provides a lot of empowerment and motivation, and she like motivates me to be a better person. And even there are some things that she'll post that I'm like, wow, I've actually never thought of that, or, you know, I'm always learning something new from her. So I highly recommend that you guys go follow her, go subscribe to her podcast. I also would like to note that since the recording of this episode, her Instagram handle has changed. So it is now Miss Aisha Speaks, and that is MSAISHASPEAKS. So that's Miss Aisha Speaks on Instagram. If you happen to follow me on Instagram, I will tag her in my stories, so that way you can find her there. If you'd like to follow me elsewhere, I am at thefitwriter.blog, and also on Instagram, the.fit.writer. And yeah, and you could pretty much probably find me anywhere else from there. I'm like on Pinterest and Facebook and things like that, but I'm mostly active on Instagram. So thank you again so much for listening. Please feel free to leave a rating or a review. I do read those, and I'm hoping to eventually start like a little segment about, you know, reading reviews and stuff. So please do that. I would greatly appreciate it. That is like the best way that you could possibly support me and my podcast. So thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you next time on the Fit Writer podcast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.